Hi, ladies. My name is Zenobia Bernier, and we are in session 10 of our podcast. Can you believe it? We're already in Mark chapter 13. You know, there's something to be said about studying the Gospels again and again. It's my prayer that as you and I sit before the Lord and read these final few chapters, we will look at the words inspired by the Holy Spirit with an open heart to not just agree with what we read, but also respond in how we live, starting today. And that our response would be driven by the urgency, intensity, and seriousness that His Word requires. The theme of Mark 13 is that the Lord promises to return to this earth, and He will keep His promise. Often when we teach about God's promises, we talk about the promised rewards in heaven that await those who place their faith in Jesus Christ. Or we talk about the promised blessings for believers who trust the Lord through life's trials and triumphs. And we should not only teach these promises, but also remind ourselves of them regularly and live our lives in a way that proves that we believe them. And ladies, every promise in the Bible is as good as done, because God cannot lie. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for His glory. This is all true and comforting if you're a believer, isn't it? It helps us gain and maintain a godly perspective about our lives and our purpose. But what we studied here in Mark chapter 13 is different. This was not a promise about something we would receive. Here we are reading about the promise of Christ's return, which was prophesied in the Old Testament. I think now more than ever, Christians are very aware and vocal about the truth that Christ is coming back soon. The things that are happening in our world today prove it, and they line up with Bible prophecy. So let me ask you, does it excite you to know that Jesus is coming soon? Believers should be excited because our most important relationship should be our relationship with Jesus. Our desire to be with Him, see Him, and please Him should supersede the desire for anyone or anything else. What's your number one desire? Mark chapter 13 was not written to everyone. Jesus was talking to believers, not only to tell what would happen before Christ returns and the signs to look for, but also how to live in light of His impending return. It was written so that we would know how to be ready for His coming. When I asked if you're excited about Christ's return, I'm sure many of you audibly said yes, or at least thought it. But here's my second question that I hope causes all of us to pause and ponder. Are you prepared for Christ's return? I don't mean are you saved, because remember, Jesus is talking to those who are. I'm talking about if Jesus were to come right now, would you be ready? Would your view about His word and who He is line up completely with His view? Do your actions, pursuits, and priorities support that? That is the heart of this portion of Scripture. Jesus had already told them that the temple would be destroyed. He told them about the signs that would indicate His return is near. He described the period known as the Great Tribulation. If you didn't read the entire chapter, I encourage you to go back and do so. Jesus describes how there will be many false teachers and false Christs. In verse 22, it says, "They will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible," listen to this, girls, "even the elect." Girls, believers are the elect. He said that even Christians will be deceived. He knew that this could happen and that it would happen to some. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. It won't be me. Well, Lord willing, it won't be. I pray it won't be any of us. But let's not be prideful or misguided here. Jesus never wasted His time or His words. So if He, the all-knowing God incarnate, was telling them, the disciples, who were His closest companions with God-given power to perform miracles and cast out demons, that they were vulnerable to deception if they weren't careful, then we, in all honesty, should also recognize that we too can be just as vulnerable if we are not on guard. This is serious, girls, or it wouldn't be in the Bible. He warns them several times throughout the chapter to be careful. Verse 5, take heed that no one deceives you. Verse 9, but watch out for yourselves. Verse 23, but take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. He gives warning after warning because he knows the frailty of our humanity. We are not immune from the possibility of being deceived, which is why we need to take heed and make ourselves ready. At the beginning of our study this week, we were asked, when was the last time you asked a loved one when he or she would be back for a visit? How does his or her promised return impact you? In verses 24 to 27, Jesus describes the scene right before he returns, so the elect, that is believers, will recognize the sign and not be caught off guard. Girls, he loves us, and he wants to make sure not even one of his children is harmed or swayed to believe the lies that the world and the devil are telling. If you've raised or are raising children, isn't that what you do? I mean, you may think those whom you are privileged to raise are the smartest, sweetest, most obedient children who've been raised with the right thinking, but you also know that they can be deceived if they're not careful. And that's why maybe you give them guidelines about talking to strangers or put limitations on their social media access. You don't subscribe to certain television channels because you want to make sure that your smart, obedient children who've been raised with the right thinking don't get caught up in the deception of the world or the enemy. Now, you can't shield them from everything, right? But you can warn them about how to recognize and guard against this evil. My friend Andrea has two young children who she homeschooled up until this year. Ironically, just as she was going to start sending them to a semi-public school, the pandemic hit, and now they're doing school on Zoom. So before their classes started, she told them that if they heard or saw anything that they knew was wrong, strange, or inappropriate, to just close their computer screen and go get her. Now, they're young, so she didn't give them specific examples of what they could see or hear. But she had already laid the groundwork in raising them with regular and constant dependence on and teaching of the Word of God. Well, one day, her son Aaron was in class on Zoom. Unfortunately, the class was Zoom-bombed, and something inappropriate appeared in the chat. So Aaron, remembering the warning that his mom had given him, closed the computer screen and went to get her. Now, if you don't know what Zoom-bombing is, you can Google that in your free time. That's not the point. The point is that she had told them these things beforehand, and he took her instructions seriously. He recognized when it was happening, and he immediately went to the safest place he knew, to the one who loves him like no other, his mom, and she was well pleased with her son. Ladies, we need to be like Aaron. No matter how long we've been walking with the Lord, we must take the Lord's instruction and warning seriously today, so that we will be able to recognize if someone's trying to deceive us or if we're beginning to compromise in any way. Then we can run to the safest place we know, to the one who loves us like no other. We can trust him. We should trust him because he keeps all his promises. Verse 31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. You'd think that was enough of a warning, right? But no. Jesus goes on in verses 32 and 33 saying, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. There it is again, take heed, and not only that, watch and pray. Girls, are you taking heed? Are you watching and praying? I mean, really watching and praying? Are you spending time in his word every day learning who he is? Devotions are great, but are you going straight to the source of truth? Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our mind is transformed by the word of God. That's how we do it, girls. That's how we guard against deception. The only way to recognize Satan's tricks is to have your heart continuously imprinted with God's truth. And his word is truth, John 17:17. Don't wait until Sunday or Bible study day to learn the truth. Don't waste this wonderful opportunity we have to study the Bible together at Harvest. Are you faithfully doing your lesson each week? Or is it the last thing you do or maybe even not do before rushing to your group? Now, I'm not throwing stones here. But please, don't leave any stone unturned as you look at the Word of God and evaluate your own walk. Warren Wiersbe put it this way, Watchfulness has nothing to do with going to heaven. It's purely a matter of pleasing him, hearing his loving commendation, and receiving his reward. He loves us so much, ladies, that he keeps on warning us, watch and pray. What's your prayer life like? Do you make time to sit at his feet and pray about the things he's teaching you in his word? Now, don't misunderstand, there is a time and place for those short, Lord, help me in this moment prayers. But there is also a time and place and priority for those intentional, uninterrupted times of prayer. Know his word and then pray. Remember the deception in the Garden of Eden. The enemy craftily twisted God's word and Eve fell for it. God forgave her, but when he came back after she sinned, she was caught off guard and ashamed. We do not want to be found displeasing God by the way we are living should Jesus return today. Verse 34, it's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Verse 35, again, watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And then one more time, verse 37, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Ladies, Jesus wouldn't need to keep repeating the warning if we weren't repeatedly wayward. This isn't about losing our salvation. We can't lose that if our conversion was genuine. It's about how we're living and what we're doing should Jesus return today. We don't know when he'll come back. Would you want to be in the middle of compromise if Jesus were to return right now? I'm not just referring to committing sins that you know are wrong, although ponder that for a moment. Of all the thoughts you had today, of all the things you said or did, Jesus could have returned at any moment. Would everything that you thought, said, or did please him? None of us can say yes to that if we're honest. But when I ask, would you want to be in the middle of compromise if Jesus were to return right now, I'm also referring to the compromise of believing differently than the inerrant, perfect word of God. There are a lot of things that Christians used to believe were wrong because God said they were, and now consider them right. These beliefs are promoted in the world, and those who believe these lies are celebrated. Isaiah 5:20-21, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Has the pressure of the world's view on certain behaviors and lifestyles weakened your belief in the absolute truth of God's word? Do you think things like, well, that's not so bad. Times have changed. God wouldn't judge that. Where before you understood the holiness of God and his unchanging nature to call sin, sin, regardless of how many people he loves engaged in that sin? The morality of God has not changed. 2 Timothy 4:3-5, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, use self-restraint in all things, endure hardship, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. New Christians, seasoned Christians, we need to be watchful and humble, lest we be deceived by the world, the enemy, or by our own complacency. Because Jesus is coming as promised, and we do not want to be sleeping when his promise is fulfilled. So I'll end with these two questions and a word from the Lord. How will Christ's promised return impact you moving forward? And what must you change, confess, believe, stop believing, or stop doing to be ready, watchful, and prayerful? And finally, Hosea 6:3. So let us know and become personally acquainted with him. Let us press on to know and understand fully the greatness of the Lord, to honor, heed, and deeply cherish him. His appearing is prepared and is certain as the dawn, and he will come to us in salvation like the heavy rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. Until next time, ladies, God bless you.